702 Motoring.
Right, this motoring feature is brought to you by Audi Freeway Plan Extension. And we're chatting to Nicole Lowe, and we're taking your calls this afternoon on 011-883-0702 and 312 your SMSs. You can tweet as well, 072-702-1702. Drop your voice notes or just simply send us your question via text. So Nicole joins us now from Cape Town. He's the technical editor of Car Magazine. So we're taking your calls. But first, Nicole, let's take a look at how we can take care of our aircon system.
Yes, Azania, summertime, and I think it's one of life's great pleasures if you get into a hot car, that cool breeze from the vents. So first of all, we've done an article in the latest issue of Car Magazine, December issue, on the aircon system. The system itself is a closed-loop system which uses a refrigerant, and informally we call it a gas, aircon gas.
Mm.
And what it does is the main, one of the main components is a compressor. So it actually compresses this gas, it raises the temperature, then it expels the excess heat to atmosphere, and then this gas gets liquefied, and then the liquefied gas still under pressure then get evaporated, and then it cools down dramatically. And there's a little what's called evaporator or a little radiator system then where your incoming air that goes into your cabin flows over, and that actually cools the air. So there's actually no direct contact between the atmospheric air that comes into your cabin and this refrigerant. It's all an indirect system.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very complex system with loads of sensors, seals and bearings. So a lot can go wrong with it. I mean, we talk about leakages of gas, and we talk about blockages of the pipes and so on. So there's an easy test that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
When you get into your car and you switch the engine on, you switch the aircon on, wait 5 minutes and then just test it with the back of your hand. Your finger area in the back of your hand is very sensitive, and mm-hmm. it should be ice cold. If it's not, switch it off immediately. Don't try and run it forever if it's not cooling, because it means there's something wrong and you can actually cause more damage. One thing that can happen, for instance, is the gas can leak out, and
yeah.
also in that gas is also 150 mils of oil that is used to lubricate the system. So when the gas escapes, the oil escapes as well, and you're stuck with a system that aren't lubricated. So now if you keep running your system that's not working efficiently, mm-hmm. you will damage the components, and the worst component you can damage is the compressor. The modern compressor on a modern vehicle can cost in excess of 25,000 rands for one of these units, so you don't want to damage one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Replacing the filter of your aircon system, what they call a pollen filter, and that's quite necessary because you get fungus growing and all these bad smells that
yes.
you sometimes
is
get
that
from an aircon system.
Oh, is that where the bad smell comes from?
Yeah, also, and what you also should do is get your aircon serviced once a year. It sounds strange, a new cars we never do it, but for older cars, it's really necessary to get your aircon system looked at once a year,
mm-hmm.
and then they will actually go through this whole process. They will clean out the system, they'll change the pollen filter, they'll get all that fungus out that will actually cause the bad smells in the cabin, and that's definitely something that you have to do. And lastly, I just want to talk about proper aircon operation.
Mm-hmm.
If you get into a car that's been standing in the sun, that cabin can be between 40, 50 degrees Celsius, extremely hot.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you want to do is you switch the engine on and then open all the windows and then put your fan speed on high, because what you want to do is you want to get rid of all that that excessive heat in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So firstly, just blow all the air out
with the fan.
Then you close with the fan. Then you close your windows and switch your aircon on and let it do its business, so cooling the air inside the cabin. And when the air is actually at a cooler temperature inside the cabin than outside, you can switch on the recirculation button. And that will actually help you cool the air quicker inside the cabin than drawing mm. the hot air from outside. So that will get you to your temperature quicker, and then obviously you can hit the fresh air button again. Just have a few tips there
mm-hmm.
to use your aircon system, especially now in summer.
I never thought to do that, especially with the fan, as you said, to get rid of the heat within the car.
Yeah.
All right, let's
one last thing, Azania, but before
yeah.
I forget, you always need to run your aircon once a week, even in winter time, because it needs lubrication on all those seals and bearings, and the only way you can do it is run the system. So don't forget to switch it on, even in winter times, once a week.
On cold?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That is Nicole's advice on how to take care of your car's aircon system. Maybe you have some thoughts on that or questions around the aircon system specifically or around other aspects of your car of a technical nature. So do give us a call on 011-883-0702 and 31702 for your SMSs. Musa Wetu, let's start with you. You're calling from the Johannesburg CBD. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you doing, Azan?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yes, I took my Honda for a service on Saturday. Now, when it comes back from the service, it's the engine is shaking now when the car is on motion. So my mechanic is suspecting that plugs or valves, but the engine is shaking whenever the car is on motion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Just a quick question. Was that engine running fine before you took it in for a service?
Yes, it was running fine.
Okay, that's a bit worrying because then it's between you and the service center to sort that one out, because obviously they did something that caused this instability in the engine. So I don't know what it might be. It's a lot of things that can cause the engine to have vibrations, incomplete combustion. As you mentioned, maybe it's running on 3 out of 4 cylinders or something like that, not getting spark, not getting fuel. But it's something that the service center need to fix. Take it up with the service manager and then take it from there. We've spoken about the whole escalation of an issue like this. But if it's something that the service center that caused this, they need to fix it.
Mm. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Musa Wetu in Johannesburg. We're taking more of your calls, but first let's take a break. Nicole, the technical editor of Car Magazine, with us this afternoon to help you with whatever technical problems you're having with your vehicle.
702 Motoring.
16 minutes to 3 o'clock, so not much time remaining. Let's go first to Donald in Honeydew. Hello, Donald.
Yes, hi. What I'd like to ask is, I'm driving a Hyundai Tucson. Mm-hmm. It's a 2016 model. It's the turbo four-wheel drive. But each time I send it in for a service, they change my brakes.
Your brakes?
So I've got 45,000 kilometers on the clock. Mm. At my 30,000 and 45, they change the brakes. So I was just wondering if that's not excessive.
Nicole?
Yeah, it sounds a bit excessive, but it all depends on your driving style and drive cycles. If you're a conservative driver or not, I suppose if you drive very aggressively, you can wear out a set of brake pads fairly quickly, like 30,000 kilometers. But if you're a very conservative driver, you should probably get closer to 60 or even 80,000 kilometers on a set of brake pads. So what'd be interesting to see is you can ask them to actually supply you or give you back your old parts just to see how much friction material is left on the pad. I would say a rule of thumb, you need at least 2-3 millimeters on friction material on that pad. And I know what dealerships tend to do. They need to figure out, will this pad last till the next service interval? Now, the Tucson is probably a 15 or 20,000 service interval. So the problem is, if they think the pads wouldn't last the next interval, they're probably taking the conservative route of changing it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's up to you. I mean, you're in control of your vehicle. You'll be able to tell him, no, those pads are still fine. But then, obviously, you would run the risk if you get to metal-to-metal situation. You might need to change the discs as well, which you don't want to do.
Yeah, it's an added
maybe
expense.
Just check, compare a new pad with the ones that they take out and see how much friction material you actually used.
Donald, have you asked for them back after they've been replaced?
So what I did ask him, because I thought it was excessive, and I thought, well, is it because I'm on a full maintenance plan that they're doing this, or if it's actually necessary?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not paying for it, then obviously it can be sort of, I don't want to say it can be the dealership trying to get money from the parent company. There's probably some conspiracy theories regarding that, but hopefully they're just doing the safe thing. So especially when you start paying for the pads yourself, and normally it's just a service plan or so on, then you would have to, because it's a wear and tear item, then definitely ask for it back and have a look.
Yeah, but, you know, from 30 to 45,000 and he's had to replace them twice, there might be something there. But Donald, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
That's Donald in Honeydew. Next, we go to Soweto. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, man. How are you?
Good. You also have a Hyundai.
Okay. Yes. I've got a question. I'm driving a Hyundai Tucson, an automatic reserve, 2017 models. Actually, I just had it for a month or so. But now what worries me is when you put it on auto and you drive it with an automatic, I feel that it takes longer to change into gears until you feel that it's kind of choking, then it jumps into another gear. And especially when it gets to a steep, and then it changed down, and then you could feel the engine revving very high.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if that is normal, because I can see when it does that, it's also chow petrol as well.
Automatic.
I'm not sure if that is supposed to be normal or should I be concerned about that.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, is there a reason to be concerned?
Automatic gearbox calibration is quite interesting. It sort of tries to sometimes learn your driving behavior as well. Obviously, with your auto gearbox, you've got a sport setting or a normal setting. When you're in a normal setting, it should be a comfort type mode with not hanging on to gears. But it also measures your accelerator input. So if you floor the accelerator quite often, it would think you're in a hurry and it would start to hang on to gears and rev higher and use fuel. So it's a lot to do with your driving style. Obviously, if you want to conserve fuel and you just do small accelerator inputs, then it shouldn't hang on to gears and rev high. So maybe try to adapt your driving style for a bit and see if that influences the situation. You can always override the automatic gearbox and just do it manually yourself as well. But, I mean, that's why you have an automatic gearbox. You want to sit back in traffic and let it do the job for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to conserve fuel, a small accelerator inputs, not large inputs, and just drive conservatively. And if it still revs out and hangs onto gears, maybe there's something wrong with the calibration, but I don't think so.
Right. So I didn't realize that these engines adapt to our driving style.
Especially with the modern vehicles, Zania, they can actually learn your driving style, but they can only learn between certain parameters.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in comfort mode, for instance, or in sport mode, the range is different where it can learn. But from driver to driver, it can learn the next drive cycle. It can learn if you drive very aggressively, then it would sort of adapt to that and maybe let the engine rev higher and hang on to gears and so on.
Mm. Let's go to Sam in Tembisa. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Haza, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. I'd like to ask Nico, I'm driving a Ford Territory, it's AWB, it's a 2006 model.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me like a bumpy ride, you know. I feel every little small pothole or whatever, it feels like the shocks are off. And I took it out to a service provider just to check the shocks for me. I had like 68-70% on the shocks. But it gives me such a fright every time I go into a hump. It makes that goop, 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 goop noise, you know. And I'm feeling like something is broken or it's got a rubber shock somewhere that I can't see.
And it was a smoother ride before, Sam?
I bought it on a second hand, and I didn't feel that before. As I drive it, but I could feel something.
It's a recent thing,
no,
sure.
It's not right.
Nicole, is he right to suspect the shocks?
I'm not 100% sure. The comfort of a vehicle, obviously the tire plays a role, so the higher the tire profile, the more comfortable it will be. And then it's a combination between the springs and the dampers, or the shocks as he calls it.
Mm-hmm.
So if the shocks are gone, it shouldn't necessarily ride more uncomfortable. It would ride more uncontrollable, I would say. A way to know that if you go over a bump and the vehicle continues that up and down motion down the road, that means the shock is gone. Because what the shock is going to do is it's going to stop. It's maybe going to do one motion and then stop and then continue in that sense. That's why a quick check for a shock is always not very scientific, but if you press down on the corner of a car with your weight, you let go. It should just do one motion, go up and just stay there. If it keeps on hopping up and down, then you know your shock is gone. But that shouldn't influence the comfort as much. And so I'm worried about the noises that he's hearing. Noises from a suspension can be various things, but it can also be the mounting points, the rubber mounts that are gone. So So I would rather inspect the complete suspension system, looking for the rubber mounts, suspension mounts, and see if there isn't any worn or broken mounts which is causing the noises he's talking about, rather than just the shocks.
Right. Thanks for that call, Sam. Next, Richard, you say your 320 BMW is leaking oil.
Hi, as I'm collaborating.
Very good, Richard. Welcome.
Thank you. Look, man, I had a 320 BMW. It was leaking oil, and they noticed that there is a hole on the tappet cover. I changed the tappet cover, put a new tappet cover. But after I done that job on the motor, I noticed that now it's, the fuel consumption increased. One, two, when it's hot, the whole car is rattling, like when I'm sitting on the traffic light.
Sure.
The whole board is just rattling. And there's no pickup. When you're trying to pull away, the car is very, very slow. And you see that there is smoke coming out from when you're on gear number 2 and number 3, there's smoke coming out from the exhaust.
What color smoke?
It's actually black. It's not black, especially when I change the gears. But before, it wasn't like that.
Mm. Nicole, any sense?
Yes, it sounds strange that it happened all after the changing the tappet cover, because obviously you said the oil leak and you changed the tappet cover, and then suddenly something started to happen. So I'm just trying to think what link can there be between that and the poor performance. If you say it's got black smoke out the back, blue smoke is normally oil, oily. You can also check his exhaust inside on the back if there's an oily substance, but obviously then it's burning oil. For some reason, I don't know why it would burn oil if you just take the tappet cover off. One thing maybe that you can also check is that the breather pipe is connected to your intake manifold. Obviously, the engine block itself needs to breathe. It builds up pressure inside. If it can't go anywhere, it also starts squeezing oil out in strange places. But yeah, the lack of performance, that might become something completely different than the oil leaking such scenario. There can be anything from a sensor that maybe wasn't connected correctly when they replaced the tappet cover. So there's a couple of checks to do. A diagnostic check would probably be a good one, just to check for all the sensors. If you're worried more about the engine performance, maybe a compression check just to make sure that everything mechanically is still fine. And then it's just a question of fueling and timing that needs to be sorted out. But as I say, maybe a pipe came loose or a sensor wasn't plugged in correctly or something went wrong when they did that tappet cover replacement.
Richard?
Thanks a lot. Because they told me that I must change the pickup sensor. And I've done that 2 weeks ago. And I see there's a little bit of difference, but there's not much change on the vehicle. So I'll definitely look into that. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you for your call, Richard and Roryport. And then Muponisi, hi.
Hi, Az. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Basically, I've got a 1993 Toyota Dyna truck. So what's happening with this truck is that, you know, it first thing first, it was overheating. It didn't have power.
Mm-hmm.
And then the car was overhauled by one of mechanics. And then apparently after that, it looked fine for according to him. But when I drove the car home, apparently along the way, it started to overheat. And then I took it back, he overhauled again. And then, you know, after 6-8 kilometers, the car starts overheating.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a small water bottle, you know, next to that, to the engine, basically it's sort of an overflow bottle.
Yeah.
So every time, after 5-8 kilometers, it will overheat. And then the water will start coming out from that water bottle, you know. So basically, I don't know what is the problem. You know, someone said, you know what, the issue now is with the block. It has cracked. You need to buy a new block. So I just wanted to get an advice.
Nicole, over to you.
Yeah, by the sounds of it, it sounds like there's maybe a head gasket or there's a leak. It sounds like your cooling system is being pressurized by maybe the combustion gases.
Mm-hmm.
So best would be to go and get your cooling system checked out, or any of these radiator places can do it, where they pressurize the system. They can actually check the coolant also to see if there's combustion gases in the system itself. They do a little chemical test on it to see if it's present. If it's present, then it means that combustion gases is escaping into the cooling system. That is pressurizing the water out, giving you all these issues. But when they overhaul an engine, they normally, what they do is they skim the top, because when it overheats, sometimes the top can actually warp. So when you put it back onto the block, that seal isn't perfect. So they skim it to make it flat again. They put a new head gasket in. And also it's very important to change your head bolts. You can only use the bolts to torque it down once. They stretch, so you have to use new bolts. Mm-hmm. So by the sounds of it, it sounds like the person that's doing the overhauling job is not doing a great job. By the sound of it. So if you do those checks on the cooling system, it comes out that, yes, combustion gases is getting to the cooling system. It all comes back to the overhauling job that's not done 100%.
All right, Mponisi, there you go.
Thank you.
Good luck. Thank you. Owen, you're in Kloofendal. You have a VW Polo.
Yes. Hi, Azra and Mitchell. Good afternoon. I just have a question. I drive a VW Polo, the diesel model, the TDI. Mm. And my engine light came on about a week ago, and I took the vehicle to go and have it checked at my mechanic, and he said to me that it's the glow light plug is gone, and that I should get another one. I can't get an aftermarket one anyway, and the agents want a ridiculous figure.
All right. We're out of time, Owen. Nicole, any ideas where he can start looking for that glow light?
I think he's probably the glow lights linked to a glow plug. So maybe he needs his glow plugs changed. I would just say phone around, use the internet. Normally it is a part that's with a supplier. I mean, VW don't make their own glow plugs. It might be a Bosch component, and then there's other ways of getting the same component for a cheaper price. Go to a specialist. The VW specialist might know where to find these parts at a better price.
Fantastic. Nicole, we won't chat again, but have a wonderful holiday period.
Same to all of you.
Enjoy the rest of 2017. That's Nicole Lowe, the technical editor for Car Magazine.